Last week was a really exciting week, and I'm excited for this morning. Last week, we had a chance, you guys had a lot of courage. As I went around, we got to hear from folks about things you're seeing at Maywood, ways you're seeing first fruit of what God's doing here at Maywood. And then we get to meet together. A bunch of you stuck around after church, and unanimously, everybody agreed that we should move forward with this new structure we had talked about and all those things. That was really exciting. And then all throughout the week, several of our youth were at youth camp with some great leaders of ours, Rachel and Justin and Amy, and we're going to hear more from them next week, but I've already heard some really good stuff from them. So it's been a good week, and today we're kicking off a new series. If we could go to this first slide with this idea of Believe being this series that we're in. And so Mike, whenever you get a chance, Mike and Kenny with the slides, that would be great. I know there's a lot going on. But here's what we're doing. It says, actually, if we could go back to slide one. As it says, Believe, it's got a lot of color on it. The slides might be out of order for you guys. But so this word Believe comes up at the very end of the Gospel of John. And here's what John says about this gospel that he's written at the end of chapter 20. He says that he's written these specific things to us about Jesus. He says, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And that's what the Gospel of John's about. It's about this belief that gives you a whole different life. It's not about a belief that you just say, I agree with some statement and check a box. It's about this really believing in someone who changes everything. And so John picked out every single thing that he put in the gospel. He left out a whole bunch, he tells us, of all these great things Jesus did. He said, I put these together so you could have new life in Jesus. So you could believe in him. And so that idea of belief, it runs all through the Gospel of John. And we're going to spend a long time in the Gospel of John. I was telling the worship team today, like, obviously, our hope is that Jesus would return this afternoon, and so we won't get to the end of the series, you know. But the way the spreadsheet works out, I looked, we're going through about 8 verses of the Gospel of John today, John 1 through 1:8. I don't know our exact pace, but I looked it up, and there's more than 800 verses in John. So we're going to be in John for maybe a couple years. We're going to be in John, like, I know that sounds like intense. But here's the thing, there's a lot in this gospel, and it all centers on this, like of us having life in Jesus because of who he is. And so we're going to go verse by verse through John. We may take breaks along the way for, you know, giant stuff going on with Christmas or like Easter. I've already mapped it out to Easter. We're not really in the right part of John for Easter and stuff like that. So stick with me, and it's my best plan at this point, not to say a promise of this is what we're doing, but my best plan is we're going to be in John verse by verse, week by week, because it just shows us such a clear image of who Jesus is. And even though we're going to go at literally a snail's pace through it, taking a couple years, if you are a go-getter, here's something I would challenge you to do. Danny Beach, some of you guys know Danny. Danny's a real young guy, but he's been shadowing me around a little bit lately and doing an internship here at Maywood. And this week, I challenged him to do something I did a few weeks ago getting ready for John. And it was, Danny, here's your job for today. Read the Gospel of John. And it took Danny a pretty good chunk of the day to read the Gospel of John. When I did it, it took probably 3 or 4 hours to read through it. But I was in Sunday school with somebody just a minute ago, and they said, I don't know if the stats are right on this, but I've heard that we use 10% of our brain. And he said, 9.5% of my brain is full of filth and junk. He said, so I got to really try to put some good stuff into my head now. And when I heard that, I thought, well, if you would sit down and read John in a single setting, you would know Jesus better than you do right now. Like every time I've done something like that, it's happened. So if you're a real go-getter, you're like, I don't want to wait that long. You can take even just this afternoon and have a new encounter with Jesus and see a bird's eye view. But we're going to kind of go in and look a lot closer week by week, okay? So, but that's what we're moving towards, is this belief. And it says belief in Jesus. When you think about it, if you had to tell the story of Jesus, and you think about, like, how would I start? John starts in a very big way. Before we get to his story of how he starts, I want to tell you about an experience I had, or a couple of different experiences I had. And the first one involves, I went into this cave one time with this tour guide and some other people, and we were walking through this really dark cave, and they have a little lantern with them. But when we get real deep in the cave, they said, I want to show you what total darkness looks like. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but that's what they said, or I remember. And so they turned off their lantern, and I remember this very surreal feeling. If you close your eyes right now, we've got all the stained glass and everything, all these lights. It's not really dark. You know, you can kind of see kind of some pink or something as you close your eyes. But in there, it really was totally dark. And I remember moving my hand in front of my face, and it was kind of weird feeling, right? Because you know your hand's there. You can feel it. But honestly, for me anyways, I trust my eyes more than I trust where my hand is by how it feels, if that makes sense. So it felt surreal of like, my hand should be right in front of my eyes, but it doesn't look like it is. And that's because, like all of us, like we've grown up really dependent on our eyes, right? But I want to show you something that lives in caves naturally. This is a fish I had when I was a little kid. I had an aquarium, and this is one of the fish I had in my aquarium. So this is a Mexican tetra. I didn't know it by that name, though. If you go to a fish store, they sell them as cave fish is what they're called. And they're pretty common. They're not expensive. I had a little tiny 20-gallon tank or something, you know. But I had a bunch of fish that could see, and then I had this one little weird guy, right? And here's what happens for this cave fish. The one I had, it had no eyes, but it had like spots where it should have eyes. You know, it had like depressions where there should be eyes there. And couldn't see anything, obviously. But as a little kid, I was a nerd, just like today. You know, so I read about the fish, had this book about him, or a book about fish. And he has something called, I think it's called lateral lines. I could be wrong on the term. But these lines of scales that run down either side of the fish. And I think other fish have it too, but his are more developed to where he can feel like water pressure better than if kind of get his way. And so strangely, this fish can't see, but there's fake plants in the aquarium and stuff. Like he wouldn't run into stuff. But the other fish would fight with each other. The other fish would mess with each other a lot. This guy was on like a whole different existence. You know, he just did his own thing. Nobody messed with him. He didn't mess with anybody. He ignored everybody else. I don't know if he even knew they were there. And when it's time to feed the fish, the other fish would see me coming and they'd get all excited and go up to the top of the tank. I had to have to like do this little tap, and then he would get up and he didn't know where the food was. He'd be like a lawnmower and he'd just go back and forth trying to find food. Like all the other fish would go straight to it and he would just have to mow the lawn kind of at the top of the tank, try to figure it out. So that's a cave fish, right? That's what happens to this fish who's made to live where there's no light at all, right? Like light makes no difference to him at all, right? He lives his whole life, I mean, I guess in my aquarium, but this fish that's pictured probably lives his whole life in total darkness, right? To where there's no need for eyes, there's no need to see anything. There's no need for pigment on his skin. I mean, he looks all weird and stuff too. Well, that idea of light and darkness comes up as how John is going to describe Jesus here at the beginning. So we're going to read this introduction of the Gospel of John, verse 1. And here's what John's going to say. In the beginning was the Word. And we've got that title capitalized there. And he says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I am not a Greek scholar. Coach Bob before me knows Greek very well. But that word, their word, is logos. And I've heard it described this way of John decided to choose that as a title for Jesus because that was what God wanted to express to humanity. That's what God wanted to communicate to humanity. I've heard that. Also, when you read Genesis 1 and 2, God creates through his words, right? He speaks things into existence. And here, John describes Jesus as the Word of God, as this powerful communication that creates. So, right out of the gate, this idea of Jesus, John doesn't warm you up with like a cool story about a healing or a cool teaching. Right out of the gate, the very first sentence, he says, Jesus has always been. And right there, that you're into the realm, I happen to believe. You're into the realm of, I'm going to have to choose. I'm not going to see all of this. I can't go back to the beginning of time and watch Jesus. Right out of the gate, John's asking you to believe in Jesus. Jesus has always been. He was with God, and he was God. So already, we can't go back in time and see it for ourselves. But now, we're not even done with our first sentence, and we've got this other statement of, not just is Jesus shoulder to shoulder with God, Jesus has a oneness with God. That the whole book of John is going to give us a better understanding of oneness between Jesus and God. But he comes right out with it. Jesus has always existed. Jesus is partnered right up next to God. And in fact, Jesus is God. Now, some of this stuff, if you've grown up in church, like I've heard all this a million times before, this doesn't change anything for me, Jake. John said, I wrote all these things down so that you could believe in Jesus and have life in him. If you believe the stuff that John says, you're going to have life in Jesus. If you believe that before anything else, Jesus, and that Jesus is in control, these things change the way you treat your family members, what you decide to do, what you get worried about, or maybe perhaps better say what you don't get worried about. Because the things you worry about and the things you get angry about and the things you get impatient for and the things you get in a rush for show what you believe about what's really important and what really comes first. And John says Jesus comes first, even in like a literal way, and Jesus is first in a priority way. Verse 2 of John chapter 1, verse 2 says, Jesus, as the Word, was with God in the beginning. And then verse 3, through Jesus all things were made. Without Jesus nothing was made that has been made. Everything from my pinky finger to this microphone, the raw material for the microphones, like everything made by Jesus. Like even like the concept of making air and vibration and sound and then instruments to hear sound. I mean, like all this stuff, lateral lines for the fish, like everything. Like melt your brain complicated, like all of it made by Jesus. Like the person who you either chose to spend time with this morning when you first got up or not, like is the same person who made the sunrise and the overcast and all the light this morning, if you saw it, and all the light clouds that were kind of streaking like paintbrush strokes. Like, he made all of that. If you believe these things about Jesus, it changes you, and you have life in him. It says, without him, nothing was made that has been made. Verse 4, this is going to be our key verse that we come back to. In Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. We've all had cell phones that have dead batteries. We've all seen animals on the side of the road or even people without, you know, bodies of people without any life in them. We all know what it is to see something lifeless. We also know what it is to see something that's a source of life, right? The things that can't make it on their own can get life from, right? Saying that ultimately, Jesus is the thing everybody else has to plug into to have life. That all the life comes back to Jesus as the source. and that Jesus is the light for all mankind. We're going to come back to that. Let's read just a little further, though. We're going to get the introduction of another character here in the Gospel of John. Verse 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Pause here, too, before we get to John the Baptist. It says, the light shines in the darkness. Talking about Jesus, and the darkness has not overcome it. In Sunday school, also today, there was some talk about demonic forces and these evil things and praying against them. Right here in John, you see real clear, if you're in any doubt about there being equal forces or like a yin and a yang or something like that, or like a good and a bad that are in battle, John says, here it is. Like, there is darkness, but Jesus has overcome it. There's no question about who wins with Jesus. Jesus wins. Some people pick sides just based off of who they think is going to win. And if you're that sort of person, like, Jesus is the winner, right? I mean, like, you know, like, so that's, there it is. So, okay, verse 6, we're going to get to John the Baptist. Now, talking about John the Baptist, this is not John who we believe wrote the Gospel of John, the disciple John. This is Jesus' physical cousin here on earth, John the Baptist. And it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Jesus will describe him in another gospel as, there's never been anybody greater born of woman than John the Baptist. Like, basically, he's a big deal. But who is this guy, this big deal guy? What does he do? Verse 7, John the Baptist came as a witness to testify concerning that light, to testify concerning Jesus, so that through him all might believe. And then verse 8, John the Baptist himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So here's the real quick thing on John the Baptist. John, this like superstar person, what did he do with his life? He pointed people to Jesus, right? He wasn't the light himself. Jesus later will say things like, we are called to be the light of the world. What Jesus is saying is, you're called to have me shine through you. But the real light is Jesus. And even the best human ever next to Jesus. But I mean, John the Baptist, if we're going to lift somebody up as a great person, John the Baptist is a great person. The best thing he could do is point people to Jesus. The best thing you could do with your life is to be pointing people towards Jesus. They can have real life in Jesus, right? So I want to come back to this verse 4, though. I told us we were going to come back here. It says, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The question I want you to face as you look at that verse is, do I believe? Do I believe that Jesus is life and that his life is light for everybody? If you really believe that, you know, our first step is to say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Jesus, forgive me and show me a better way to live. But there's an ongoing belief in that, right? It should filter into every part of you, just like the light coming in these windows and out of these things. Every part of this room has light in it, right? Every part of you should start to have light in it if you believe these verses, right? Where it's different, right? So I want to go back to our Mexican tetra thing. If we can go back to this last slide. So this one, the weird thing about this I didn't know until I was an adult. This cavefish, I don't know what to say on the family, you know, species side or whatever, but there's a Mexican tetra that lives in caves, and that's on the bottom. And then there's this Mexican tetra, there's a couple of them. That's not like a two-headed fish, that's like two of them. But there's exact same fish, but this is the one that lives outside of caves. And there's some caves where they both live. There's no little streams with light where that cave tetra lives, though, because he has no shot living in the wild in the light with things that have eyes. Like, he's just not going to make it. You know, that whole lawnmower approach doesn't work when things eat stuff off the top, you know, right? So here's some questions I want to hit you with as I saw this image. The one thing is, when you see the ones that are meant to be in the light next to that cavefish, the cavefish kind of looked quirky and cool at first, but he looks sickly, right? Next to some fish that have been out in the sun, right? The reality is caves exist as an ecosystem because a whole bunch of other stuff exists as an ecosystem. And normally there's something pouring in to give it the life that it has. Like the cave doesn't support itself. It's kind of a leech off of whatever's pouring in. When Jesus created everything, he initiated all the life that's on earth. And if you haven't met Jesus, if you haven't given your life over to Jesus, you might be sort of alive like that cavefish is alive, like derivatively alive, right? Like you're living off of something else that was initiated outside of you, right? Like that cavefish lives in a place that exists because plants get light and do all this stuff, but they dump it into a stream, and then some of that energy goes into the cave. And it's just a little bit of energy, and it's a dark, terrible place, right? Like none of us would want to live in that little cave, right? And all the other creatures in there are pretty messed up. If you bring them out into the light of the day, like they're pretty strange, right? And they're getting by with some weird tactics, right? And they're probably eating each other, honestly, you know? Like, that's the sort of life people come from without Jesus, right? It's a dark world with weird tactics, people eating each other, and it's derivative. It's living off of something outside of itself. It can't produce on its own. Here's the other weird thing, though. Some of those Mexican tetras on the top that have eyeballs, for whatever reason, they get lost or whatever, and they live in that same cave. There's some caves that have both of these fishes swimming around. They've got the eyes, but they're able to just make it work without any light. Some of us have got Jesus. We can see. We've got light. And we're just hanging out in the old life, still getting by. We got an advantage over everybody else around us if we have real life inside of us, but we're not going to get out into the sunshine. We're just going to hang out with the cavefish, do the cavefish things. But none of those cavefish live out in the sunlight. And if you really want to go with Jesus, if you really want to be out in the sunlight, you can't do it without those eyes, right? Like you can't be that cavefish and really make it out in the sun. And you can't be a good person or try really hard and make it with Jesus. The Gospel of John is going to show us, it's already shown us, Jesus is greater than us. And real life is not found in trying harder ourselves. Real life's not found by just getting some sort of good help from some good people. Real life is found only in Jesus. Real light is found only in Jesus. Whatever else you're doing, if it's not rooted in Jesus, it's not giving you real life. And how quick we are, myself included, to take other things when we have access to Jesus. So today we've got response time coming up. The worship team's coming up to do just one song for us today. We've got a baptism at the end of service. And this baptism, excited about Richie Dobbs' son, this baptism is this symbol saying, I really believe in Jesus. I'm done with my old ways, and I want to live new in Jesus. And it's this ceremony we do to show how important that is. But as Christians, we have to constantly say, I believe in Jesus, and by believing in him, I have life in his name. My life is about who Jesus is. So let's pray. Jesus, you are God. Jesus, you created everything. And Jesus, I believe that real life is only in you. Help us all to live from our belief in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.